We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Open your Bibles to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I want to read from verse 23. Paul says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Now notice, Paul says, "Let us hold fast the profession," or confession. This word profession can be translated confession. It is the same word that's translated confession in other parts of the New Testament. So he said, "Hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Now you notice, if he's instructed us to hold fast to it, then it is possible that we could lose it. And we need to understand that. I don't think that in any other time that I can remember in the last two decades has faith been under siege like it is now. By books and people over radio and television fighting the faith message. And the confession message, and what we call the word of faith message. Faith is under siege, the faith of Abraham. If it had been in Abraham's day, I'm sure that it had been the same way, because he had some of the same problems, I'm sure, when he went around saying that he was the father of nations when he was 99 years old and didn't have the promised child. But he called things that were not as though they were, until they were. And it seems that in the day that we live, that people have thought they are called of God to come out against God's Word and the faith message. But I want you to know that it's not a time to walk or back off from the faith message and try to appease the critics, but it's time to dig in and hold fast to that which we know. I know of several individuals that taught the word of faith for several years. Then in the last few years, they've backed off of it and unpreached it for 2 years. It's a shame. And Paul said, "Let us hold fast our profession of faith, or confession of faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised." Yes, faith is under siege, but thank God the Word of God has been blasphemed before, and there's people stood against it before, but God's Word will always prevail. It's not a time for us to back off the Word of God. It's a time to learn more of how to deal with the situations that we face in life by faith. Now, I know that someone may have said, "Well, you know, not another message on faith." Yeah, another message on faith. And if you said that, you're probably the one that needs to hear it the most. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing. It didn't say faith cometh by having heard. So if we're to hold fast to our confession of faith, then it's possible that we could lose it. It's possible that we could get involved with all of the other things of life and the criticism, and back off from what we know to be true. I want you to turn with me over to Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter. We want to talk to you about faith that doubts not. How to have faith and not doubt. Now, you know, that sounds like a paradox when you say faith and doubt not. But let's start here in Matthew's, it's the 17th chapter, the 14th verse. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and is vexed, and oft times is fallen into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Now I want you to notice the words of this man. "I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Now, I wrote in my Bible, they did not cure him. They could have cured him. They could have got him delivered, but they didn't. Because they had faith, all right, but they doubted. Now, I want you to notice something. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil or the demon, and he departed out of the man, and the child was cured from the very hour. Now, from this passage of Scripture, it is not clear whether it happened instantly or not. It's very possible that it started that hour and he was totally delivered within the hour. One other of the Gospels says that when Jesus spoke to the demon, that he fell to the ground as one dead. Now see, Paul said, hold fast to your confession of faith, a confession of faith. In other words, don't be moved off of it because of circumstances of life. So many people, when they face the circumstances of life that does not agree with what they've confessed or what the Word of God said, they get nervous and they back off the Word of God. You see, there's so many people that have faced things, and because of something they experienced, they backed off the Word of God and said, well, you know, I guess that's just not true. Well, they knew it was true a few weeks before. But you see, what changed their mind was an experience they had. The Bible doesn't say faith cometh by experience. It comes by hearing the Word of God. See, you're going to have experiences in your life that does not agree with the Word of God. I had someone say to me not long ago, well, I prayed for somebody and they died, so I'm not going to pray for any more. I said, well, join the club. What did that have to do with it? Jesus said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, what you experienced did not change the Word of God, not one bit. It didn't change the Word of God. Whatever's happened in another ministry didn't change the Word of God, not one bit. All the adverse publicity on television and the news media in the last several months has not changed God's Word, not one iota. Still says the same thing. You see, if you back off the Word because of experience, too many people are changing what they believe because of what they experienced. When if you'll hold fast to the Word of God, it'll change what you experience. Hold fast to the Word of God. You see, you can't always overcome every situation that you face in life because other people's will is involved. You don't know what about Brother So-and-so. He might have wanted to go on to glory and go on home. And besides that, he might have been in a coma and his family sitting around planning his funeral. That doesn't do a whole lot for your faith. And he's hearing all that in his spirit, see. See, we don't understand all these things. There's a lot of things we won't understand until we get to heaven. But one thing we know, that God's Word is true. And if we'll hold fast to it and do what the Word says to do. See, our obligation is to use our faith to the limit. It's up to God what the result is. Don't ever back off the Word of God because of some experience you've had. I mean, if another never got healed from now till the time Jesus returns, I'm going to lay hands on the sick because the Bible says to. I'm going to do it because the Word says to do it. I'm not going to be scared off by some critic or by something that happens, because God's Word is true. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now, here's a situation that the disciples faced. It looked as though it didn't work for them. And now, I don't know, but I'm going to speculate just a little bit here because, you can't prove that this was true, but you can't prove it's not true. I imagine when Peter or John tried to cast this demon out while this guy probably fell to the ground. You see, one of the Gospels records that when Jesus commanded him to come out, he fell to the ground as one dead. He fell to the ground and began to wallow and to have a convulsion. That's probably what happened when Peter laid hands on him. And he said, hey, it didn't work, John, you tried. I've seen this happen in meetings. I was in a prayer group one time, and they brought a lady forth that was possessed of a demon. And I laid hands on her, commanded him to come out, and she fell to the ground, to the floor. As far as I was concerned and God was concerned, she's delivered. Then there were several people come up and started hollering over and commanding him to leave, and her eyes got big, and the thing came right back. See, when you say something, let it stay said. See, you get moved by what you see and feel, and you'll miss God. You go looking for the spectacular, and you miss the supernatural. See? So here, Jesus didn't bother him, and you'll notice in the cases where Jesus delivered people, didn't bother him what happened when he commanded the demon to come out. They came out. Very possibly, they just backed off of it when this happened. But now notice that it says here that the man said, "I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him."
I appreciate so much you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. Now, before we leave the broadcast, I want to remind you all of this week, our tape offer is tape offer number 7235, two audio cassettes in an album for $12 plus $4 postage and handling, a total of $16. It's entitled Manifestations of the Spirit. Two audio cassettes in an album, Manifestations of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, you know, the Apostle Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Well, he doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, in the church at Corinth, there were people of all areas of life. Some of them were out of the occult. Some of them were idol worshipers. And it seems as though sometimes someone would stand up and say that Jesus Christ was accursed, and supposedly saying it by the Spirit of God. So Paul's addressing this, and he says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed." Now, you have to realize that there are people that get off track, and they tap another spirit, and I've heard prophecy that come forth supposedly in the name of Almighty God, you know, that was not of the Spirit of God at all. So you have to judge prophecy. You have to judge these things. And Paul goes on to say in verse 7, "But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Now, there's been as much manifestation of the word of knowledge concerning business deals in my life in the last 25 years as there has been in spiritual things, and certainly it works in spiritual things. But I think we've missed it. We haven't understood that we can have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom in everyday affairs of life. I believe these tapes will help you. That's offer number 7235, Manifestations of the Spirit. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Now come on down to verse 19. "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now see, unbelief is caused by what you believe. If you're going to believe circumstances and situations rather than the Word of God, then you're going to back off a lot of things in life. Because Satan's job is to make it look like it's not working. You read the parable of the sower in Mark, the 4th chapter. It's very evident that it's Satan that comes to steal the Word. 5 things that Jesus said he used to steal the Word from you. Affliction, persecution, deceitfulness, riches, lust of other things entering in, you see. Affliction. In other words, when you go to believing for healing, you probably get worse. I mean, I had a man in my service one time. He came in the prayer line, laid hands on him. Prayed the prayer of faith. He had a chronic back ailment. He said, for 20 minutes after you laid hands on me, I hurt worse. Immediately, he hurt worse. The pain grew worse. Trying to get him to back off the Word, see. But you see, he had learned to hold fast to his faith. He said, no, thank God they laid hands on me in the name of Jesus. I believe I've received my healing. Before the service was over, he was totally delivered and never had another problem with a back problem. See, he wasn't moved by circumstances. He didn't back off of it. He held fast to it. Now notice Jesus says, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Now that's strong language, isn't it? If you had faith as a seed. Now just forget the word mustard. I think we get involved with that sometimes we miss the whole point. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. What would you say? You would say what you believe. You would say to the problem, you won't hinder me any longer. You would say to that allergy, in the name of Jesus, you will not hinder me any longer. You're a thing of the past. I'm saying it in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, what if it grows worse? Just keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Faith cometh by hearing. See, Jesus is telling you how to plant your faith. See, if you go over to the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus said to his disciples, when they said to him, Lord, increase our faith, he said, in so many words, he says, fellas, you don't need more faith. What you need to do is use what you have by planting it. And he said, the way you plant it is to say it. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would say unto this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It would obey you. The inanimate object. Now, you know, he's not talking about rooting up trees anyway. He's talking about problem areas. Specifically there, he's talking about unforgiveness. You ever heard somebody say, well, you just don't know what so-and-so did to me. I just can't forgive them. Well, I don't know what they did for you, but I know what unforgiveness will do for you. It'll kill you. Jesus tells you how to get rid of it. See, the context of that in Luke, the 17th chapter, is that he had said that if a man commit a trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and he repent, thou shalt forgive him. We can all make it the first time pretty good. Some of us can squeeze by the second time, but the third time we want to bust his lip, you know. But now what did Jesus say? See, the apostles. Now notice, this was the apostles. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Now what did faith have to do with it? They understood that it took faith to forgive a man that did the same thing 7 times in one day. In other words, you can do things by faith you can't do any other way. In one of the Gospels, one records it this way, 70 times 7 in one day. Now what Jesus is doing, he's just making it an impossible situation for the natural realm. So it has to be supernatural to do that. And then the apostles understood that, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. You can forgive by faith when you can't do it any other way. Now here's the secret, he tells you how to do it. He said, if you had faith as a seed, you would say. In other words, faith works like a seed, and the way you plant it is to say it. say to the sycamine tree. Now notice, they're probably walking down a path and there's a tree in the middle of that path. He said, now, fellas, you don't need more faith, because if you had faith as a seed, you could say to this tree, be plucked up by the root, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It would obey. See, the King James says it should. The Greek says it's strong in that. The interlinear Greek says it would obey you. Now, what he's saying is that you can do it by faith if you start saying it, what you're going to do. See, now, when people say to me, well, you know, I just can't forgive. I say, well, how long you been saying that? Well, I guess about 10 years now. I said, well, it worked real good, didn't it? Jesus said you could have what you say, and you've been having what you said. Now, Jesus tells you how to undo that thing. He said, begin to say to the problem. See, unforgiveness there was the problem. Say to it, you won't hinder me any longer. You'll be cast into the sea. You'll be covered by the blood of Jesus. I put this thing under the blood in the name of Jesus. I make a decision to forgive, and I do forgive. You hear me saying it? I forgive them in Jesus' name. I may not want to. I may wish to God I didn't have to. But Jesus said I do, so I will. See, when Abraham, when there was no hope, Abraham believed in hope. He made a decision to believe. Well, how could you believe in something when there's not any? See, there was no natural hope as far as Abram was concerned. He's 99 years old and his wife's 90. But he went to the Word of God and got him some supernatural hope. That's where you get your hope, from the Word of God. Now, if you'll begin to say that in things that have overcome you in life and begin to say to them, you won't hinder me any longer, I'm saying it, say it aloud where you can hear you say it. You don't have to go tell your neighbor about it. You're the one that needs to hear it. I think this is where people make a mistake with the faith thing. They go out and tell their unbelieving neighbor everything they're confessing. And they tell their unbelieving church members. And they try to talk you out of it. No, you're the one who needs to hear it, not your unbelieving neighbor or some unbelieving church member. It's for your benefit. God said, remind me of what I've said. He doesn't want you to remind him because he's forgetful. He wants you to remind him so you'll hear it. Hallelujah. Well, we could get on a side journey here. In fact, I guess we already have, haven't we? But now let me point out something to you here. Back up there to Matthew, the 10th chapter. When the man said, I brought this my son to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Well, they could have, but they didn't, because they backed off their faith. Now let's read from Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, could they do it or couldn't they do it? He gave them power and authority, you see, over all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, I heard Oral Roberts say something in the Charismatic Conference a year ago that stuck with me, and it helped me tremendously. He read this verse and he said, notice that Jesus gave them power over all sickness and all diseases, but didn't give them power to heal all people. Now that'll answer some of your questions. Somebody said, well, some get healed and some don't. That's right. Some won't receive it. Some don't understand it. Some people rather be sick. Now, not a whole lot of them, but some. I've met some of them. I remember one lady in Anaheim Convention one time, was at Kenneth Copeland meeting. I had taught on faith and healing, and she came to the book table after the service, and boy, I mean, she gave me a bad time. She said, I know what you're saying, but she said, I want you, she was paralyzed, she's in a wheelchair. She said, I want you to know that God put me in this wheelchair. I said, no, sister, God didn't put you there. Yeah, I know he did. He made me have that car wreck. I said, no, God didn't make you have that car wreck. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, she said, I know it was God. I said, well, what makes you think it was God? Well, she said, because if I wasn't in this wheelchair, I couldn't write this book. I was afraid to ask her what the title of the book was.
but I'll guarantee you it was on suffering. But I just held fast to the Word, and she finally tuned up and bawled a little about it, but I just said what the Word said. Well, to make a long story short, when Jerry Savelle was teaching in the next service, while I had gone out and was out at the book table visiting with some of my partners there, and I heard a roar go up inside, and someone came out, and I said, well, what happened in there? I said, well, there's some lady that Jerry said, get up and act on your faith and confess your healing, and some lady got up out of her wheelchair and pushed it down front. It was the lady that was at my book table. Well, you see, sometimes it's because of a lack of knowledge that people don't receive their healing.
I appreciate so much you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. Now, before we leave the broadcast, I want to remind you all of this week, our offer is offer number 7235. It's called Manifestations of the Spirit. Two audio cassettes in an album for $12 plus $4 postage and handling, total of $16. Manifestations of the Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians, you'll remember that Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, or the church at Corinth, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, if he didn't want the Corinthian church to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, I don't believe he wants the church today to be ignorant concerning the spiritual manifestation of things from the Spirit of God. Now, when you come over to verse 4, he said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, I want you to notice that the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to be profitable to everyone. It's not going to cause anyone to fail. It's not going to lead someone to do something wrong that will cause failure in life. But one of the problems is we thought, well, it only works in spiritual things. But you know, over a period of years, the last 25 years, I have probably had as much manifestation of the Spirit of God in matters of business affairs as I have in spiritual things. And I think sometimes we've forgotten that the manifestation of the Spirit, in other words, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, to know what to do in certain business deals. And I think we've missed it. I think we've kind of put it aside and thought it's just spiritual things. You need these tapes. That's offer number 7235, Manifestations of the Spirit, for a total of $16. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
But you see, here in the 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said he gave him power over all sickness and all disease, not over all people. Now see, if I couldn't have gotten that woman in that wheelchair to agree with the Word of God and change her mind. See, she was thinking contrary to the Word of God. She believed God had given her that paralytic condition. Wasn't God at all. And when she found out it was the devil, in fact, I remember saying to her, and I guess I said it by the Spirit of God, because I didn't have any special revelation. I just thought, I heard it coming out of my mouth. I said, sister, you're already healed and just don't know it. Well, thank God she got up and out of that wheelchair and pushed it down front. So you see, you can. Jesus gave them power over sickness and disease, over all sickness and all disease, but not power to heal all people. And so it helps us, we understand that. Now go with me over to Matthew. We're in Matthew. Go to the 21st chapter. Let's pick up with verse 20. Jesus has just spoken to the fig tree. And when his disciples saw it, you see, it withered. And when his disciples saw it, they marveled and said, "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Verily I say unto you, if you had faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." And all things, how many things? All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Ye shall receive. Notice you didn't have it then, but you shall have it. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, now somebody might say, "Well, now, Brother Capps, now I prayed and I know I believed, but I didn't receive." Well, no, now you might have believed you believed, you might have even thought you believed, but you didn't believe the way the Bible said to believe, or you would have received. See, somewhere along the line, you backed off of that. Now, I think one of the major problems is that sometimes we think if we pray long enough, it'll bring faith. The Lord said something to me several years ago, and I've never forgotten it. Oh, I guess it's the hardest thing to get people to understand. But the Lord said to me, "Son, don't ever pray for anything you can't believe me for." He said, "It'll destroy your faith. It won't help it." And I said, "Well, Lord, I'll tell you one thing. That'll sure shorten my prayer time." And I said, "Well, what'll I do?" He said, "Go to the Word of God and study and meditate and confess and proclaim what I said until faith comes." Now, let me show you something about faith. Faith is the substance of things. Now, what is faith the substance of? Things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. The very fact you're praying for it is evident that it's not seen, right? I mean, if you see it, why would you pray for it? So then, it is the substance of things. Faith is the substance of things. Now, where does faith come from? Paul says, "Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God." Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Notice it didn't say faith cometh by having heard the Word of God. Somebody said, "Oh, I've heard that." Well, faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. It's a continual sense, see? Now, God's Word is filled with faith. If it was not filled with faith, you couldn't get any faith by hearing it. God has stored His divine energy, which we call faith, in the Word of God. I call it the divine energy of God. It is stored in the Word. It's released in every word that He spoke. Now, the reason God cannot lie is because that He releases sufficient faith in every word that He speaks to cause the manifestation of it in the life of every person that will believe it. Now, that faith, that divine energy, the ability, the seed. See, I'm going to say this in many ways you're going to get it. That faith is a seed. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. See, the seed is in the Word itself. The law of Genesis, in Genesis 1:11-12, said, "Every herb, every fruit tree, whose seed is in itself, produces after its kind." See, everything produces after its kind. So God's Word is filled with faith. Every promise in this book, God released sufficient faith, divine energy, divine nature of God in that Word to cause the manifestation of it in the life of every believer that will believe it. There's sufficient power there to do it. Now that energy is there and it's laying dormant in this Word. If you confess the Word, say it aloud, speak it, to where you hear yourself say it, it'll cause that faith to be transferred from this Bible into your heart. Romans 10, the Apostle Paul says, "The righteousness which is of faith says, the Word is nigh me. It's in my mouth and in my heart." Now, you want to know how to get the Word in your heart and faith in your heart? You get it in your mouth. Now, if you notice, Paul, first of all, he says, the righteousness which is of faith says, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, who shall descend into the deep, that is to raise Christ again from the dead. Now, what's he talking about? Who in the world would say that? We have, many times. Have you ever said, Lord, come down and touch me? Then that's exactly what you said. Oh, if the Lord would just be here, if he'd just come here and touch me, I'd get healed. Or my need would be met if the Lord would just show up on the scene. Oh, if I could have just lived when Jesus walked the earth. Paul says the righteousness which is of faith wouldn't say that. The righteousness which is of faith would say, oh, Jesus now is seated at the right hand of the Father until his enemies have made his footstool. But you see, my help is as close to me as finding it in the Word and putting the Word in my mouth and speaking it into my heart. The Word is nigh me. It's in my mouth and in my heart. That is the Word of faith which I preach, Paul said. Oh, we think we were Word of faith people. Paul was a Word of faith man. Hallelujah. He preached it 2,000 years ago. He said, this is the word of faith which I preach. In other words, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming back to get you healed or delivered. He's done all he's going to do about it. What he's done is here in the Word. God sent his Word and healed you and delivered you. Psalms 107, verse 20. Now see, if it said God sent his Word to heal you, it just might not have made it. But if he said he sent his Word and healed them, and delivered them, then don't tell God it didn't work because he believes it did. Now, can you understand why Jesus said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive? See, we hadn't missed it in praying so much. We prayed, I think the Christians have prayed plenty, but the problem is we prayed without faith. Or we had faith and we doubted. And I'm going to show you instances in the Bible where they had faith and they doubted. See, that's what he said. If you had faith and doubt not. See, there's a lot of people has faith. Oh, yes, I know God's able. Well, the devil knows that and he's not going to get healed. I mean, the devil knows God's able, but will he? And will he do it now? See, that's the question. You can have great faith that God's able and no faith at all that he'll do it now. Well, sometime God's going to do it. Sometime God's going to meet my need. You know, that'd just be kind of like me coming into Lansing, you know, and call Dr. Johnson and say, well, I'm in town. We need to get together. He said, yeah, be good. Well, where do you want to meet? Well, that doesn't matter. Just anywhere. He said, well, what time? Oh, just any time, and hang up the phone. Now, how long do you think it'd take us to get together? We haven't established time nor place. We're not going to get together. See, and people say, well, it's going to happen sometime. Well, when? I mean, when are you going to believe? See, I'm not talking about establishing a time of manifestation, a time that we believe we receive, see. Thank God at 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, I believe that I received. Write it down in your Bible. Point back to it. Say, devil, get me behind me. I received it then. Now, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Now, the faith that we're talking about is in the Word of God. We're talking about Bible faith now, see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is it you hope for? I hope for what God has given me, don't you? See, we're not talking about something God doesn't want you to have. See, our critics, they say, well, they're just teaching people to get things. Yeah, that's right. I'm teaching people to get the things that God has given them. Belongs to, you see. We're not talking about something God doesn't want you to have. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. See, he didn't say you would be, he said you might be. See, you have to make a decision whether you're going to be or not. You can back off of it and forget it. And just suffer. And go on and say it must be the will of the Lord. Well, no, here's the will of the Lord. Have you ever noticed in the front of your New Testament, it says the will the New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is His last will and testament. This is the will of God. God gave the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. It was their promised land. This New Testament is our promised land. Every promise in this book, God has already said yes to it before you ask, and you're the one that's supposed to say amen to it.
I appreciate so much you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. Now, before we leave the broadcast, I want to remind you all of this week, our offer is offer number 7235. It's called Manifestations of the Spirit. Two audio cassettes in an album for $12 plus $4 postage and handling, total of $16. Manifestations of the Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians, you'll remember that Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church of the church at Corinth, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now, if he didn't want the Corinthian church to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, I don't believe he wants the church today to be ignorant concerning the spiritual manifestation of things from the Spirit of God. Now, when you come over to verse 4, he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now I want you to notice that the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to be profitable to everyone. It's not going to cause anyone to fail. It's not going to lead someone to do something wrong that will cause failure in life. But one of the problems is we thought, well, it only works in spiritual things. But you know, over a period of years, the last 25 years, I have probably had as much manifestation of the Spirit of God in matters of business affairs as I have in spiritual things. And I think sometimes we've forgotten that the manifestation of the Spirit, in other words, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom to know what to do in certain business deals. And I think we've missed it. I think we've kind of put it aside and thought it's just spiritual things. You need these tapes. That's offer number 7235, Manifestations of the Spirit, for a total of $16. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Faith is the substance of things. What things? The things God has given us. Well, now somebody said, Brother Capps, now if God has given me all things, if God has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, then why don't I have them? Because faith is the substance of them. Well, why don't I have them? Have you ever called for them? See, Paul says that the righteousness which is of faith, says the word is nigh me, it's in my mouth and in my heart. Get it in your mouth first. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't say that I'm healed when I'm not healed. I still hurt. That's all the more reason you ought to proclaim healing. You're calling for what you don't have. You're not denying what exists. See, there's a difference there. God's method is to call things that are not as though they were. See, now sometimes people call things that are as though they're not. Now, that's not God's method. That's denying what exists. But see, when I say, thank God, I believe I received my healing, I'm calling my body well. Thank God I'm well. Somebody said, how can you say that when you hurt? That's all the more reason I ought to say it. I'm calling for something that I don't have. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. I'm saying what God said about it. By His stripes I was healed. He bore my sickness and my disease. I'm not denying what exists. I just deny it the right to exist in my body. We have faith and doubt not. We could say unto the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Now, let me show you something here. Go over to Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. Mark chapter 1. Here we find a man that comes to Jesus. Now, this leper, as far as we have any record to this point, there'd been no lepers healed. Let's begin with verse 39. It says, and he preached, talking about Jesus, he preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and cast out devils or demons. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now notice, this leper says, Lord, I know you can, I just don't know whether you will or not. Now notice, he has faith, but yet he doubts. Now, you know what doubt is? You know, I think we haven't understood doubt. Doubt is when you just don't know. Doubt is not unbelief. Doubt is when you just don't know. I mean, if somebody said to you, do you believe God will supply your need? Well, if you didn't know any scriptures concerning what God would do or didn't know anything about the Bible, you'd say, well, I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, he never has, you know. I mean, if you was in a bad situation, you just didn't know. Well, I don't know. You say, you believe God will heal you? Well, I don't know. I doubt it, you know, if you didn't know it. Now, let me show you something. In Romans, the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now notice it said the measure, not a measure. Now, what is the measure of faith? Ask yourself this. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, how do you measure faith? You remember Jesus said to the disciples, oh, ye of little faith. And they finally got tired of that and said, Lord, give us some more faith. Well, you don't get faith by asking for it. Faith comes by hearing, see. Now, how do you measure faith? Faith cometh by hearing the Word. See, faith in God comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith in God comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith in the devil comes by hearing the words of the devil. Faith in me would come by hearing what I said. See, the real truth is faith cometh by hearing. See, now Paul was talking about a truth when he said faith in God comes by hearing the Word of God. But faith in Charles would come to hearing what Charles said. See, so the real truth, the whole truth, is that faith cometh by hearing. Whether you're hearing God, whether you're hearing the devil, whether you're hearing the weatherman, faith cometh by hearing. Now, some people haven't understood that. And I'm amazed at the people around the country. They'll say to me, the devil told me so-and-so. Do you have a word from the Lord for me? And I say, yes, I have a word from the Lord for you. Quit listening to the devil. See, faith in the devil is fear. That's where fear comes from. You listen to the devil, you'll be filled with fear. You listen to God, you'll be filled with faith. So if you say what God says, faith will come. You say what the devil comes, faith and fear and oppression will come. But now here's a man that he's not in unbelief. He's just in doubt. He just does not know. He doesn't have knowledge, see. You notice 2 Peter chapter 1 said, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Remember what Jesus said? If you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice it was the knowledge of truth that set you free. If you don't have the knowledge of truth, you won't be set free. See, there's people that have a Bible today. That's all the faith there is in that Bible. But they're not set free because they don't have the knowledge of it. They have to have the knowledge of it. You can take a man that has the knowledge of being born again He knows all the salvation scripture. And brother, I mean, he'll get you born again in a minute. He'll witness to you and get you saved. Turn right around and tell you, but God won't heal anymore. That went out with the apostles. Well, now, what's wrong with that man? You see, he has the word concerning salvation. He has no word in him concerning healing. That's how you measure faith, the amount of word that's in you concerning a particular subject. That's the reason you have great faith in salvation, get people saved and just do good works and get people saved. Thank God for that. But yet, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why, he may tell you that's the devil. Now, see, there's a man that's right in his heart, but he's wrong in his head. He doesn't have the knowledge of it. So you measure his faith by the amount of the word that's in him. In salvation, he has great faith because he has the great word. He has lots of word in him. But when it comes to healing, he has no word, so he has no faith. Can you understand that? Now, here's a man who comes to Jesus and said, I know you can, but I don't know whether you will or not. Now, notice what happened. And Jesus, moved with compassion, notice this. Now, brother, when you see the words moved with compassion, you get ready, something's fixing to happen. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. Now, notice, he put forth his hand and he touched him. Now, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and healing power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But notice, nothing happened when he laid hands on that old boy. No healing flowed. Nothing happened until he said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, the leprosy departed from him. Now, let me show you something. See, Mark's the only one that records that. I want you to see it. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and saith to him, I will, be thou clean. Now the next verse is the key to it. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now let me ask you, did he speak first or did he lay hands on him first? Laid hands on him first and no power flowed, no healing was there. You know why? Because it was doubt. He did not know whether Jesus would or not. Even though he put his hand on him, he still didn't know. His question was not answered. He had a legal doubt. Don't blame him for that. He just didn't know. There's a lot of people just don't know. But when Jesus said, I will, he got his question answered and he got healed. Now let me show you something. If Jesus Christ himself came here tonight and had a prayer line and lay hands on you, if you didn't believe that it was his will to be healed, you would not get healed if he laid hands on you. I mean, Jesus himself. This is proof of it. No power flowed. In his own hometown, in Mark the 6th chapter, it says that Jesus could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Now see, unbelief is different from doubt. See, this scripture said, have faith and doubt not. In other words, you can have faith in God's ability and doubt that he will do it, or doubt that he will do it now. Just keep putting it off, putting it off, keep putting it off. But Jesus, in his own hometown, the Bible said he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. One translation said he tried to, but he couldn't. Can you imagine the Son of God trying to heal somebody and couldn't? Well, one translation said he tried to, but he couldn't. There were no major miracles happened there because of their unbelief. Now, the difference in doubt and unbelief is that unbelief is when you know the truth and won't believe it. Or when you have the truth. You see, you take a fellow that's never heard about healing. Well, he would doubt that God would heal him. But once you preached healing to him and showed it to him in the Word, and he still won't receive it, it's not doubt anymore. It has become unbelief. Because he knows the truth, but he won't receive it. And in his own hometown, they knew the miracles he did. They knew the things that he did. They just would not believe in the anointing. They said, he's a carpenter. See, they could have got their barn roof fixed, but they couldn't get healed. Can you see that? We must have faith and doubt not.
I appreciate so much you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. Now, before we leave the broadcast, I want to remind you all of this week, our tape offer is tape offer number 7235, 7235, two audio cassettes in an album for $12 plus $4 postage and handling, a total of $16. It's entitled Manifestations of the Spirit. Two audio cassettes in an album, Manifestations of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, you know, the Apostle Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Well, he doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, in the church at Corinth, there were people of all areas of life. Some of them were out of the occult. Some of them were idol worshipers. And it seems as though sometimes someone would stand up and say that Jesus Christ was accursed, and supposedly saying it by the Spirit of God. So Paul's addressing this, and he says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed." Now, you have to realize that there are people that get off track, and they tap another spirit, and I've heard prophecy that come forth supposedly in the name of Almighty God, you know, that was not of the Spirit of God at all. So, you have to judge prophecy. You have to judge these things. And Paul goes on to say in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Now, there's been as much manifestation of the word of knowledge concerning business deals in my life in the last 25 years as there has been in spiritual things, and certainly it works in spiritual things. But I think we've missed it. We haven't understood that we can have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom in everyday affairs of life. I believe these tapes will help you. That's offer number 7235, Manifestations of the Spirit. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. Glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Now, let's look at some other passages, or let me just carry you mentally to them. In the 14th chapter of Matthew, you find a story there of Peter. Impetuous Peter. They're in the storm, you know. And they look and they see Jesus come walking on the water. I believe I've got my scriptures right. And they see Jesus come walking on the water and they cried out for fear. And Jesus said, "Fear not, it is I. Be not afraid." He said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come." And he jumped out of the boat. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, he did it. Don't criticize him too much. He did walk on the water, didn't he? Any of you done that? He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But it says, when he saw the wind boisterous and the waves, fearing, he began to sink. Now, remember what Paul said? Hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. The reason you've got to hold fast to it, you can lose it. Now, let me point out something to you. He lost his faith by degrees. He had faith to walk on water, didn't he? But now let me show you something, and I'll show you why Satan brings all these other things against you to steal the word from you is because he gets you off on something, on a side issue that has nothing to do with what you're doing and cause you to fail. The wind was blowing boisterous and the waves was high, and Peter got his attention on the waves and the wind and fearing. See, when he turned to circumstances, he began to fear. Fearing, he began to sink. Notice it says he began to sink. Did you ever see anybody step off in a swimming pool and say, well, he's beginning to sink. He's up to his knees now. No, you just go chug and you're gone. This proves you can lose faith by degrees. To the degree that you observe and give your attention to things that have nothing to do with what you're doing. Now, I'm not telling you to ignore, walk out, you know, and walk out across the street and say, well, I see that 18-wheeler coming, but I'm just not going to pay any attention to it. Yeah, and you're going to be a greasy spot. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that take your attention off of what you're doing. Now, let me ask you something. What in the world did the waves and the wind have to do with walking on water? Not one single thing. Not one single thing. You mean you could walk on your swimming pool if the wind's not blowing? But now, let me show you something, what Peter did. He painted himself in a corner. And some of you have done the same thing. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. Pardon me. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why did you call Peter out of the boat when he wasn't ready for water walking faith? He said, I didn't do it. Oh, I said, I know you did. Have you ever argued with the Lord? I bet you never did win, did you? I said, well, I know you did. He said, well, turn to it and read it. So I turned over and read it. And I said, see there, you said come. He said, read the preceding verse. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. He said, what was I going to say? No, Peter, it's not me. He said, if I'd have said anything else except come, I would have lied. If I'd have kept silent, he said, it would have been a lie. Because Peter said, if it be you, bid me come. He said, I only said one word. I just answered his question. And he said, you've done me the same way. You said, Lord, if it be thy will for me, if you want me to do this, let this happen. It was my will for you to do that. It wasn't my will for that to happen. He said, you painted me in a corner just like Peter did. And sometimes you get in trouble over it. But now, see, he had faith, but he doubted. And he lost his faith by degrees. What do you do when it looks like all hell's broke loose, you know, and looks like nothing's working? Hold fast to your confession of faith. Hold fast to it. Now, when I say hold fast to your confession of faith, don't go read a bunch of stuff in there I didn't say. If you know, if your doctor said, you've got to take this medicine or you're going to die in 3 days, you know, I didn't say go throw your medicine away. If you're taking medicine, take it in the name of Jesus. It'll work twice as good. But hold fast to your confession of faith, see? Don't let anybody ever push you out beyond your faith. See, somebody said, well, faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Yeah, but there's another little line that goes with it. Faith acting as though you had faith when you have none is double dead. Don't ever let people push you out beyond where you developed to. See, that's what happened to Peter. He got out beyond where he's developed to. And fearing, he began to sink. He lost his faith by degrees. The wind and the waves was designed to get his attention off of the word, come. There was enough faith, enough divine energy in the one word, come, that he could walk on the water. Now, let me show you something. God said to Elijah one time, he said, go stand on the mountain. I'm going to pass by. And boy, I mean, here came a wind and rent the rock, tore the rocks apart. Brother, you talk about a windstorm. That was one. And he thought, surely God's in that, but he wasn't. Then here came an earthquake. and shook the whole planet. Surely God was in that, but he wasn't. Then here came a fire. Surely God's in the fire, but he wasn't. All of these things happened as God passed by. Now let me show you something. All of that was to draw Elijah's attention away from God. See, God wasn't in it at all. And all the adverse publicity and things that have come out in the last few months and years and books written against the faith message is to get your eyes off of the real issue. The fire and the earthquake. God wasn't in it, but I tell you what God was in, the still, small voice. Be willing to hear what God is saying, see. Peter observed the circumstances and situations, and fearing, he began to sink. Fearing, he began to sink. We have another incident over in Luke, I believe it's the 8th chapter, where Jesus said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, and Jesus just went to sleep on those words. He believes that stuff. And boy, the wind came up. Now, notice something here. I want you to understand this, because there is so many people that get the idea that all the storms of life are designed of God to make us stronger. That all of these problems of life, God sent them to make me more like Jesus. That storm that came on the lake and was trying to swamp that boat was not of God. Because they woke Jesus up and told him what the devil said. Lord, we're all going to perish. That wasn't what he said. He said, we're going to the other side. See, they didn't hold fast to what Jesus said. Hold fast to what God says, regardless of the circumstances you face. Do everything you can. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to lay down and play dead. Do everything you can, but hold fast to the Word of God. Say what God said. In the face of lack, say abundance, thank God. Because I've given, it's given unto me. They woke him up and said, told him what the devil said. You know what Jesus did? I can just see him stand up on the bow of the boat, and he looked out there and he said, peace! Be still! There have been some folks I know, they'd have jerked him by the coat tail and said, you can't say that. There's none out there. There's a storm on. Wouldn't that have been something if he stood up there and said, woo, storm! I believe it's blowing stronger. No, he's smarter than that. He said, peace, be still. He called something that wasn't there, see. Then he turned around and said, where is your faith? You know where their faith was? It's in their mouth. What you believe, you speak. And they said, we're going to drown. They didn't hold fast to the Word, see. They did not hold fast to the words of Jesus. Folks, in the day that we live, it is imperative that we get a hold of the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to stand in these last days is God's Word. And if you're basing your faith on some personality or some individual or something else, you're going to fail in life. But if you get a hold of the Word of God and do it because the Word said to do it, don't do it because somebody said to do it. You don't have no right to do something just because I said to do it. Get the Word for it. Hold fast to your profession of faith. Don't waver from what God said. Hold fast to it. Say what God said in the face of all contradictory evidence. Thank God I proclaim the Word of God is truth. They said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Thank God I must have recovered. Thank God I'm saying I'm healed. Well, why are you saying that? Because the Word said it. Not because I feel healed, not because I look healed, but because the Word said it. Can you say amen?
I appreciate you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. As we have ministered the Word of God, I trust it's been a blessing to you. Our offer this week, this last day, for tape offer number 7235, it's called Manifestations of the Spirit. Two audio cassettes and an album for $12 plus $4 postage and handling, a total of $16. It's entitled Manifestations of the Spirit. Now, Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit. Now, if he didn't want the church at Corinth to be ignorant, he doesn't want us to be ignorant about it. He goes on to say, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of operation, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, it's talking about the Spirit of God, is given to every man to profit withal. Now, that means to every man that operates in this. Now, that wouldn't necessarily mean that the sinner on the street out here is going to have a manifestation of the Spirit of God. However, from time to time, the Spirit of God may speak to an individual, even if they're unsaved. But when we talk about the manifestation of the Spirit, we're generally talking about the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the nine spiritual gifts that he deals with here. Now, over a period of 20, 25 years, I've had probably as much manifestation of the Spirit of God concerning business deals, knowing what to do, how to put it together, and it came by the Spirit of God. And I realized I wasn't smart enough to do it. People said, you can't do that. Everybody thought I couldn't, but I did. And I know it wasn't me, it was the Spirit of God. Manifestations of the Spirit is always profitable. It's not going to make anybody fail. It's not going to cause anybody to make the wrong decision. If you hear the Spirit of God, I believe this set of tapes will help you. That's offer number 7235, Manifestations of the Spirit. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400. That's 1-877-396-9400. Until Monday, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area.